5. Who is the man on the white dragon? Stoic the Vast was Hiccup's father and the chief of the Hairy Hooligan tribe. He was a man built on generous lines, with a belly like a battleship and a beard like an electrocuted Afghan hound. He had been having a peaceful after-lunch nap in the surprising warmth of the afternoon when he was rudely awoken by a couple of his warriors chattering on about a fire up on the highest point and how the pirate training program was up there herding reindeer. Stoic immediately feared the worst. Stoic wasn't normally of a fearful nature, but his father-in-law, Old Wrinkly, who was a soothsayer, had been warning Stoic for weeks that the omens were saying that Hiccup was in danger. Stoic had laughed this off, for Stoic was not a great thinker or worrier, even though for a small, skinny boy who didn't look up to much, Hiccup did seem to get into an extraordinary number of dangerous situations. See How to Train Your Dragon, How to Be a Pirate, How to Speak Dragonese, and How to Cheat a Dragon's Curse.
"Call out the fire brigade!"
bellowed Stoic, jumping out of bed and leaping for the door, dressed only in a rather fetching pair of hairy underpants that his wife Valhalla Rama had brought back for him from one of her quests abroad. When you live side by side with dragons, you have to have an extremely efficient fire brigade system. Even though most dragons try not to fire breathe unnecessarily, the hunting and riding dragons were always accidentally setting fire to the furniture or the thatch, and on these occasions the fire brigade could be on the scene in 2 minutes flat. The fire brigade consisted of a whole fleet of water dragons, so called because their stomachs can distend to carry extraordinary amounts of water, ridden by fire warriors specifically trained in fighting fires. It took a little longer than 2 minutes on this occasion, for the highest point was some flying distance away from Hooligan Village, but within a relatively short space of time, the entire brigade was there. The dragons swooping down into the seas below to scoop off huge amounts of water from the sea and then shooting it out onto the blaze. Their efforts were pretty hopeless, of course, because this wasn't a tiny little matter of a hunting dragon setting fire to a bedspread, but an entire burning mountainside. And by the time Stoic arrived, half-naked on the back of his riding dragon, the fire was flaming as strongly as ever. Gloomily watching the blaze was a bedraggled line of pupils from the pirate training program, blackened and unrecognisable through the smoke.
"Hiccup!"
stammered Stoic, dismounting from his riding dragon and wiping the smeariness from the face of the nearest boy in the pathetic hope that the soot-smothered young plug-ugly might be his son.
"Where is Hiccup?"
Sadly, Warty Hog shook his head and pointed a grubby arm at the mighty blaze in front of them.
"No!"
shouted Stoic, tearing his beard, staring at the blazing woods. Out of the fire ran the Windwalker as fast as he could, and he came to a stop among the waiting Vikings. Hasty hands scrabbled at the cloak, unwrapping it with such speed that Hiccup fell out onto the heather. He found himself looking straight up into the anxious face of his father, Stoic the Vast, and the heads of several other warriors. Behind those heads was the bright blue sky, and further back even than that was the flaming highest point, a great funeral pyre for Goliath and the reindeer. But not for Hiccup, this time. As Hiccup tumbled onto his back, his helmet fell off, and a hot, cross Toothless flew out.
Mean master!" scolded Toothless. "Hiccup very lucky, nice kind Toothless, not do a pee-pee on his head."
But then the little dragon forgot his anger immediately when he caught sight of the glorious burning bonfire.
"Oh, fire!"
squealed Toothless in excitement, and he flapped off hurriedly to play in the flames.
"He's alive!"
bellowed Stoic the Vast in astonished delight.
"How are you alive?"
was Stoic's next baffled question. Hiccup pointed to something standing quietly some way beyond Stoic's shoulder. The man on the white dragon, with Gobber sitting behind him.
"He saved me," said Hiccup.
Gobber clambered down from the white dragon. He was totally black from eyebrows to toenails, apart from the small pink top of his bald, helmetless head, which shone in the sunlight like a halo.
"I can explain, Chief,"
stammered Gober.
"It was a perfectly harmless herding reindeer on Dragonback lesson. Nothing dangerous about it at all. And then we were attacked by these things."
Goliath didn't make it.
"I am sorry, Gober,"
said Stoic the Vast, solemnly. Goliath had been Gober's faithful riding dragon through many a terrible battle.
"We shall take revenge on whatever did this, I assure you."
"He saved us,"
said Gober, pointing at the man.
"Who is that?"
asked Stoic.
"Who is that man?"
"He can't be a man," pointed out Gober. "Men don't walk through fire. He must be a god."
"I'm not a god,"
said the man on the white dragon. His voice was rather muffled by a black soot that covered him from head to toe, even his eyes and mouth, and Hiccup was wondering how he could see through it.
"I'm just a hero, I mean, an ordinary bloke who happened to be passing,"
continued the man.
"In fact, I'm in a bit of a hurry. I've got something important to do now, so I must be off. Lovely to meet you and everything. You seem like nice little people in your way."
"You're a lava lout,"
roared Stoic, staring at the man. All the watching hooligans gasped in horror and drew their swords immediately. Lava louts were one of the hooligan tribe's deadliest enemies.
"I am not a lava lout,"
protested the man indignantly.
"Lava louts are gorillas in trousers, and that's a bit of an insult to gorillas."
"You are so a lava lout," exclaimed Stoic. "Only low-down, double-crossing mere sharks lava louts ever wear that kind of suit."
The hooligans growled in agreement and pressed forward, waving their swords and checking the sharpness of their axe edges, while crying out, "Kill him! Kill him! Lava lout vermin!"
"Badge, I kill him first, chief,"
yelled Baggy Bum the beer belly.
"I haven't had a lava lout in ages."
"Get to the back of the queue, Baggy Bum, you villain,"
roared Toughnut Senior.
"You're always pushing in front of everybody else."
"I am not a lava lout,"
howled the man as loud as he could through his muffly headgear.
"Oh, for Thor's sake, you do a good deed and see what it gets you. In the soup yet again. Why do I never learn? Bother this fire suit. I'll take it off and then you'll see."
The man got down from his white dragon and with both hands he pulled up the head section of the suit he was wearing. It was stuck very tight and made rather a revolting, squelchy, burpy noise as he peeled it up.
"There, you see,"
said the man triumphantly, as with a final rude belch, he detached the headgear from his face.
"Not a lava lout."
Stoic walked slowly round and round the man. The head that he had revealed was clearly not the head of a lava lout. It was the head of a blonde, bearded, handsome man. No, make that a very handsome man. Slightly past the prime of middle age and currently looking a little bit cross. Stoic put his sword back in its scabbard.
"Not a lava lout,"
pronounced Stoic with relief.
"But if not a lava lout, then who are you?"
The man looked extremely surprised.
"What do you mean, who am I?"
said the man.
"I'm Humongously Hotshot, of course."
Humongously Hotshot was one of the greatest Viking heroes of recent times, who had completed such great quests as the slaying of the Rood Rippers and the fetching of the Weird Stone. He had completely disappeared without trace 15 years before, and everybody had rather assumed he was dead, which was an occupational hazard of being a great Viking hero.
"No, not Humongously Hotshot, the hero,"
stammered Stoic the Vast in awe. Suddenly, Stoic was rather aware of the fact that he was standing in front of one of the greatest heroes of the age, dressed only in a pair of hairy knickers and one rather ancient blue sock. He sucked in his tummy and tried to look his most dignified and chiefly.
"But we all thought you were dead."
"Yes, well," said Humongous, frowning bitterly. "I was on this hero quest in lava lout territories and got caught red-handed by those snakes and helmets, the lava louts. They slung me into one of their jail forges, and so I've spent the last 15 years underground forging swords for them, which is why I'm wearing one of their lava lout fire suits. It's made out of dragon skin, which means it's totally fireproof."
"'They're evilly clever, those Lavaloutes,'
said Stoic the Vast, shaking his head.
"'How by the great, hairy thumbnails of Thor did you ever escape?'
"'Oh, I didn't escape,' explained Humongous. "'Nobody escapes from the Lavaloutes. "'They evacuated the island. "'The exterminators were hatching.'
"'What are extermi, whatever you said?'
said Stoic.
"'I've never heard of them before.'
"'Exterminators are the creatures who've made this little mess here,' explained Humongous,
waving a hand at the scene of scorched devastation and fiery chaos behind him.
"'They haven't been seen around these parts for centuries because their eggs can only be hatched by the gases and lava given off by an exploding volcano. "'The volcano on Lavaloute Island has been grumbling away for a while now, "'getting ready for a really massive explosion, "'and when it does, all the exterminated eggs will hatch.
"'So you're saying they were exterminators that attacked us just now?' asked Hiccup.
"'That's right. I'd say about six small ones, baby exterminators, you know. "'They were quite sweet, really,'
answered Humongous cheerily. "'And how many exterminator eggs are there left on Lavaloute Island?' asked Hiccup.
"'Oh, no more than about 900,000, I'd say,'
nodded Humongous.
"'All of this reminds me, I am in a bit of a hurry to get out of here. "'I'm so sorry to leave. You've all been so kind. "'And if I were you, I'd leave too, and pretty quickly. "'You don't want to be around when they hatch.'
"'What are you talking about?' bellowed Stoic. "'Leave? There's no question of leaving. This is our home. The archipelago has been home to the barbarians ever since Great Hairy Bottom, the first barbarian of all, got off his ship and sank into the bog right up to his thigh. He lost his boot on that occasion. They never found it again. And that was when he said those immortal words,
"'There will be barbarians in the archipelago for as long as my boot is in that bog.' Hiccup finished up the story, for he had heard it before. "'Yes, Father, I know, Father, but at the time, Great Hairy Bottom didn't have 900,000 exterminator dragons about to fly down on the island and turn it into desert.'
"'That's not so many,' roared Stoic the Vast. "'And they're only dragons, after all. We shall stay, and we shall fight. I shall bring it up at the meeting of The Thing.' Which is in a week's time on Sunday, Sunday, so that we can prepare to join together and arm ourselves for the battle to come.
The Thing was a meeting of all the local tribes.
Oh, how I wish your darling mother was with us now, sighed Stoic.
Hiccup's mother, Valhalla Rama, was a truly magnificent warrior, but she was off questing again.
My little muscly sweetheart would crush those extermi thingamies with one flick of her plats, said Stoic. "'We will fight them on the beaches,' he yelled. "'We will fight them on the bracken. "'We will fight them in those boggy marshy bits "'that are so difficult to walk through without losing your shoes. "'We will never surrender!'
And then he broke into a rousing rendition of "'Rule Barbarians, Barbarians Rule the Waves,' and every single hooligan stood up straight and proud and singing out the chorus at the top of their lungs while performing the hooligan salute.
Rule, barbarians, barbarians, rule the waves! Vikings!
For a nation that spent a great deal of time fighting, burgling and ransacking, the hooligans were a surprisingly musical lot. It was a shock to hear these ruffianly characters open their mouths and the proud words come ringing out, pure and true, in perfect tune with each other, and in deep and gorgeous contrast to the scene of smoky devastation going on behind them. Humongously Hotshot got up to go. He shook Stoic warmly by the hand.
"'I must say,' said Humongous, "'I think the clever thing to do would be to get out of here as fast as is humanly possible.' But I have got to admire your suicidal bravery, mad and completely pointless as it is. Good luck, everybody!
Won't you stay and fight with us?
Pressed Stoic the Vast.
A great hero like yourself would be a tremendous help.
Well, I think now I'm more of an ex-hero, repeated Humongous. I'm just a sword for hire. No, I've had it with lost causes. It's all about me, me, me from now on. But I do just have one last thing to do before I shoot off as far away from this doomed archipelago as I can get. Could you possibly point me in the direction of the little island of Berk?
Stoic the Vast's face broke into a broad grin.
But my dear Humongous, he exclaimed, this is the Isle of Berk.
Humongously Hotshot's jaw dropped.
No, he said, then you must be...
You must be Chief Stoic the Vast,
cried Stoic the Vast.
Really?
Gasped Humongous, very politely not asking the question, and do you always prance around the mountainside dressed only in knickers and one blue sock?
And this is your son?
Humongous pointed at Hiccup.
Hiccup Horrendous Haddock the Third,
roared Stoic the Vast proudly. Humongous seemed to find this difficult to take in.
This is Hiccup Horrendous Haddock the Third.
Humongous turned to Stoic.
You know, Stoic, I've changed my mind. I think I will hang around here for a while after all.
Wonderful, boomed Stoic. I think you said your new profession was a sword for hire.
That's right, said Humongous.
Well, I've been looking,
said Stoic, thoughtfully,
for a bardyguard for my son, Hiccup. You should be good at bardyguarding, having once been a hero.
A bardyguard was a bodyguard for the heir to a Viking chief. Like a hero, you were expected to be more than just a magnificent warrior. You had to be a complete all-rounder, good-looking, musical, handy on the harp, and just as good with the spear as you were with the axe. And you had to be a great teacher as well, because you were supposed to be instructing the young heir in all these skills.
How's your weapon work?
Asked Stoic. For answer, Humongous drew his axe from his belt so quickly and so gracefully that Stoic didn't even see his hands move. He threw it sizzling through the air in such a way that it cut off one of Nobber Nobrain's plaits and then boomeranged back into Humongous's hand again, where he twiddled it twice around his wrist, balanced it for a moment on his elbow, and somersaulted it back into his belt again. The hooligans oohed with pleasure. There was nothing they enjoyed more than really good weapon work.
Wow!
Gasped Stoic. This man was cooler than a cat twirling his whiskers on a freshly frozen iceberg.
Oh, that was nothing, said Humongous, sighing. In my younger days, I could have done it with my eyes shut.
Don't try it,
growled Nobber No-Brains warningly.
And I presume you're as good with everything else?
Asked Stoic. For answer, Humongous drew out his bow and arrow.
You see that boy with the skull tattoos?
Humongous pointed out Snotlout, who was standing some distance away, chatting with Dog's Breath the Durbrain and picking his nose. Humongous let fly his arrow, and Snotlout fell backward with a short cry.
My son!
Exclaimed Baggybum the Beerbelly. Humongous held up a humongous yet elegant hand.
There is absolutely no cause for alarm, my dear sir. I think you will find that your son is completely unharmed. I have simply removed the booger from his nostril.
It was so. It had all happened so quickly. Snotlout just assumed he had been stung by a wasp and went on talking to Dog's Breath, his nose boogie-free.
But that's impossible,
stammered Stoic.
Child's play, said Humongous, shaking his head. The boy's nostrils are the largest I have ever seen.
And skiing? Dragon riding? Basketball skills?
Asked Stoic.
Nothing to what they were in my prime, said Humongous, sadly. But still tip-top, A-grade, first class. Us ex-heroes don't do mediocre.
Is it just me?
Whispered Fishlegs.
Or is this guy really rather irritating?
It's just you, said Hiccup, gazing at Humongous in total admiration.
And harping?
Asked Stoic.
Why, I'm just assuming, with that magnificent waistline of yours, that you can sing a splendiferous saga.
Once there was a lady, sighed Humongous sadly, who claimed she would have died for my singing. Singing was my speciality, but no more. 15 years working in those jail forges and my voice is completely broken. The gold dust crept into my lungs. The heat burned out my voice box. And worst of all, I have lost the will, the heart, the desire to do it. I will never sing again.
That's a shame, said Stoic. I do love a nice sing-song. Never mind. In every other way, you seem perfect for the job. Will you be my son's bodyguard? I will pay you handsomely.
I accept the post with pleasure, said Humongous immediately. I'm saving up to buy a little farm somewhere quiet and out of the way.
Excellent,
smiled Stoic the Vast. And Stoic bustled off to call a meeting of the local tribes so he could form a war party to fight the exterminators.
Will you teach me that flash thrust with twist thingy that you did in the fire? Asked Hiccup, looking delightedly up at Humongous.
Of course, said his new bodyguard, who was busy sharpening his sword.